The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined by Florida Senator Rick Scott, chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, probably on the ground in Georgia. I'm not sure. Good morning, Senator Scott. Where do we find you today?
Well, I've got to be in D.C. We're voting today. But I've been with Herschel about once a week, and I talk to him almost every day. He's excited. He believes he's going to have a big win. The key is going to be our turnout if people are energized to vote. I mean, I say it as simple as this. When are you finally going to show up because you're sick and tired of inflation and high crime? You're sick and tired of a woke military. You're sick and tired of the Afghanistan withdrawal. You're sick and tired about lying, being lied by the Democrats. So I think everything I'm hearing, and I got the text this morning from one of the individuals that does our outbound phone call to get voters out. He says there's a lot of energy on Herschel's side. He needs to have a good turnout today because it's still at this point, we have more of our voters wanting to vote on Election Day, and we've got to vote. If you have the opportunity to vote by mail, vote by mail. If you have the opportunity to vote in person early, vote early. Make sure that way nothing will happen on Election Day that will prevent you from voting. So far, Democrats are doing a better job than that than we are, but I think Herschel's going to win. He's optimistic. I was with him on Friday at a big rally. He has big rallies every day, so if those turn into votes, he's going to have a win.
Now, Senator Scott, I talked to both David Drucker and Byron York, and the latter agreed with me, and the former didn't, that I think legacy media, left-leaning big media, is trying to tell Georgia voters it's over, and it's not. Herschel, it's a dead heat as far as I can tell. Am I right, or is...
Yeah, the polls that we've seen, in the last poll I had, 48-48. And so it's really... But it's like this, you know, Hugh, here's the way this works. It doesn't matter what the polls say. Right now it's tied, and it doesn't matter who's going to vote. How important is this election to you? If you care about, you know, the direction of this country, and people think that we're heading the wrong direction, and you show up to vote. I was at a dinner the other night, and everybody there was complaining like crazy. I said, how many of you donated? How many of you run for office? How many of you volunteer? Okay, and they all vote. But I said, if this is so bad, you got to start doing more. I said, you don't have to run for office, but you got to go help people win these seats.
Governor Brian Kemp is all in for Herschel. He's doing everything he can. He won by 8 points. Yeah, he won by 8 points.
I mean, Governor Kemp has done, he's done ads, he's done rallies, he's done fundraising, he's done everything he can to help Herschel because he knows he needs a partner in D.C. So, no, Governor Kemp has done everything he can to be helpful to Herschel to make sure he wins. Herschel should win, but it's all tied to you have to go vote. Yeah. You can't sit there and say, oh, yeah, I'm sick and tired of this stuff, but I don't go vote. You need to go vote, make sure your family members are voting, your friends are voting, and you've got to get the vote out.
Senator, I've told everyone, J.D. Vance won, but we lost Pennsylvania, so it's a 50-50 Senate. And if Herschel wins, and then what's the difference between 51-49 and 50-50? I said it's a lot. Would you explain it?
Sure. The biggest thing is all committees will have the same number of Republicans or Democrats. So every legislation and every nomination has to have at least Republican form, or they won't get through the committee. It's very important that we get a 50-50 Senate because these committees. Legislation comes up through committees, nominees come up through committees. And so if you want to make sure Republicans are part of the conversation, then you got to get Herschel to win. I don't care if you don't live in Georgia, call your friends in Georgia. Say, look, it's important to me that you go vote for Herschel Walker.
I agree. And I've been telling people that. And Georgia, I cover Georgia. And I was just talking to a fellow who's down in my Macon audience, and he's all gone. It's raining a little bit in Georgia. They got to get out. They got to stand in line. How long? I think the polls are open until 8. I don't know when we'll know this, and I am very leery of calls, early calls. But Senator Scott, I want to change subjects on you very briefly. When will you decide whether you, Rick Scott, are going to run for president or not?
I'm running for re-election as a senator from the great state of Florida. I will you know, work my butt off over the next 2 years for my re-election. But the truth is, you know, too, you sort of do it every day by doing your job. And so that's my job is to represent my state. And that's what I do every day. And that's what I'll continue to do.
Are you ruling out a run for president?
I'm focused on the Senate. Right.
Yeah, come on, Senator, help me out here a little bit. I got to make a little news. Are you saying no, not now, never, or are you saying, ah, we'll see?
I think I'm saying the same thing. I'm not. What I'm saying is I have no plan to run for president. I have a 100% plan to run for the U.S. Senate.
But you're not ruling it out.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I'm running for Senate. I'm running for my job as a U.S. Senator. I like
that. I hear you. I hear you. But I think I am interpreting that as no, not now, never. And I just don't want to misunderstand you.
No, I'm running for the Senate.
All right. Senator Rick Scott, thank you for all the work that you've done for the last 2 years. It's been incredible and unusual cycle this year, but J.D. came through, and I'm glad you helped him across the finish line. Not one Republican incumbent was defeated, and Rick Scott was the chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and he's urging you to get out for vote for Herschel, as I am. Go and vote, Georgia. Cover the state. We need you. It could be a one-vote race. Really, we could be in recount territory. Get out there and vote. Thank you, Senator Scott. I'll be back. Hour number three, Senator Cotton, Senator Sullivan, coming up here on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hey, everyone. This is Dwayne Patterson, producer of The Hugh Hewitt Show. I've known for a while now that there's been far too much of me here in the studio, and I finally needed to do something about my weight. My excuse was always that I couldn't follow a plan with the crazy schedule that I keep. I heard about PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition and how they customize their program for each client, and I decided to call. This was no problem for Rachel and the PhD team. They had me map out what my day looks like and created a plan to follow. And so far, I've lost 16 pounds already and I'm just 2 weeks in on the way to my goal of losing 45. Call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition at 864-644-1900 and make your appointment for your consultation. The plan is simple. It's based on science and nutrition. There's no pills or injections, and they even include 80% of your food if you want it. Call them right now at 864-644-1900 or find them online at myphdweightloss.com. And tell them you heard about it from Dwayne, the producer Hugh actually has on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hewitt live inside the Beltway, joined by Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan. Good morning, Senator Sullivan. How go you this morning?
Good morning, Hugh. I'm doing great. Merry Christmas, and I hope you and your family are doing well as well.
We are, and the Browns are even a little bit better, and the Ohio State Buckeyes have been resurrected, so I like that too. Senator,
well, you know what? I wanted to mention, I know you and I love to talk football. I am actually going to the greatest game, in my view, of the year. It's a little underrated. I go every year with my dad, a Navy veteran, my brother Sean, a bunch of my siblings. Army Navy this weekend. It's going to be awesome. Best game.
Go Navy, beat Army.
Go Navy, beat Army. I love
my that. My son will be there. My son-in-law can't make it this year, both active duty Navy, and we are very, very pro Navy here. You're right. Go Navy, beat Army, but I'm glad. I've only been once. It's quite the spectacle.
Oh, you got to go. You need to go. Come with me. I go every year. Unfortunately, my dad passed away 2 years ago. It's the greatest sporting event in America. Anytime you want to come, I'll be there. So
thank you, Senator. Now let's get. I want to cover three things with you: Georgia and Herschel, yeah. And the difference of 50-50 Senate makes to 51-49. Number two, the deal that President Biden is supposed to be doing in Alaska, and then I want to talk about the Chi-Coms and what I'm afraid is going to be another Tiananmen Square. Let's start with Georgia. People are voting as we speak. They're standing in line. It's raining a little bit. How important is it that Herschel win?
So important. And, you know, like a lot of my fellow Republican senators, I campaigned all over the country to help candidates this fall. It was disappointing. We know that we didn't take the majority. But as you just mentioned, being 50-50 is way more important for us, for America, than being 51-49. And it's all about power in the Senate. And it sounds technical, but let me just give you one example. We're 50-50, then every committee in the U.S. Senate is split evenly. That gives us way more power if we don't have a split in the committees. And so that's just one of many examples where we can do a lot more to prevent Biden's radical nominees becoming confirmed by the Senate. radical legislation, it makes it much harder for them to implement their radical anti-American agenda if we're 50-50.
Okay, that's a reason enough, Georgia, to get out there and vote and stand in line, even if it's raining. Second,
and we know people in Georgia; they've had a lot of elections over the last couple of years. We know it. We appreciate all that you've done, but please get out there and vote for Herschel.
One more time, get it one more time, then you can rest for 2 years, and you will not be bombarded. In fact, 2 years from now, I don't think anyone's up. Senator Sullivan, let's talk now about Alaska and oil drilling. President Biden and his team keep going out and saying there are thousands and thousands of unused permits. Is he actually obstructing oil and gas development in Alaska?
110%, Hugh. That's 110%. Look, there are a lot of Biden policy disasters, but his energy policy is the biggest disaster of them all from day one. And I've seen this not just in America, but expressly in Alaska. They have focused on shutting down or delaying production of American energy, shutting down or killing American energy infrastructure, going to American banks and financial institutions, and believe it or not, pressuring them not to invest in the American energy sector. And then you see what they do. They go bend the knee, literally the president of the United States bent the knee in Saudi Arabia, embarrassing as hell for our country, and bend the knee to dictators to produce more oil. I mean, it is unbelievable. You saw what they just did with Venezuela. But in Alaska, you know, we got Anwar passed, right? Into law, two lease sales mandated by the Congress. Day one, the president suspended those. You can't suspend those, right? That's in the law. The president's job is to faithfully execute the laws of our nation, not to block them. And then now we have this incredible project called the Willow Project. It has been in permitting, if you can believe this, Hugh, for almost 20 years. It's in the National Petroleum Reserve of Alaska. It is ready to go. If the Biden administration gives the green light on this, it will produce over 2,500 jobs, and it's peak production, Willow will produce 190,000 barrels a day, and they're delaying it. They're greenlighting Venezuela, and they're delaying the Willow Project. Every one of your listeners should call these guys saying, let the Willow Project and American energy, American workers, and by the way, the Willow Project is the most environmentally responsible, sensitive major oil and gas project on the planet Earth. Lowest greenhouse gas emissions of any major project in the world. Meanwhile, Venezuela, 18 times more polluting than the average American energy project. This is the definition of policy insanity.
So, Senator, when you hear the president say, we've given thousands of permits that the oil and gas industry isn't using, they should use those first, or you hear Corrine doing that at the White House, what should the follow-up question be to focus folks on the facts of their obstruction as opposed to their talking point deflection?
Let me give you three. First, Mr. President, approve the Willow Project, almost 200,000 barrels a day. I pressed the President of the United States directly on this project 18 months ago, directly. I even gave him a memo on it. He said he wasn't aware of it, which I believe he's not aware of a lot of things. And 2 days later, his White House called me saying, the President's going to support Willow. Okay. End of story. When I worked for George W. Bush, if the President of the United States told two U.S. senators and a congressman he was going to do something, that was it. So number one, approve Willow. That's America. That's the biggest American energy project in the country right now, ready to go, been in permitting for almost 20 years. Secondly, this president has put out the lowest amount of leases since any president since World War II. That is a fact. And the third one, they should be pressed on. Now, this is a little more technical, but it's in the energy sector. There are things, these aren't just the leases. There are these things, once you get a lease, are called applications to drill. Okay, that's actually the real thing that needs to be approved. There are 8,000 applications to drill, including in Alaska, that this administration is sitting on. That's how you get production going. The applications to drill.
Yeah, we needed the specifics. Now, before we run out of time, I want to ask you about the CHICOMs. You signed a letter. I believe you authored it, and you got 41 co-signers to the Chinese ambassador warning them against a Tiananmen Square repeat. Did you get an answer, Senator?
They said they're going to give us an answer within a couple hours. They haven't gotten, we haven't gotten any answer for that but yet. But Ambassador, if you're listening, or any other Communist Party, we want an answer, right? We want an answer. Our letter was very simple. By the way, almost half the Senate, including a lot of Dems, signed on to my letter, and it essentially just said, we're watching very closely these historic protests. Last time you had protests of this magnitude, you undertook a violent crackdown, 1989, Tiananmen Square, that killed hundreds, if not thousands, of peacefully protesting students. And we caution the Chinese Communist Party in the strongest possible terms not to kill your people again simply because they want more freedom. You know, Hugh, this goes exactly to the biggest vulnerability Xi Jinping has. And it's this. These guys fear their own people. They fear their own people. And we need to exploit that vulnerability every opportunity we can.
Okay, Senator, I talked to Len Khodorkovsky yesterday about the cracks in the Iranian regime's ability to hold their people down. They are forming. They're spider-like. Do you think that regime is close to tumbling?
Not yet, but it's the same issue. The right. terrorist regime in Iran, the biggest thing they fear is their own people. And it's the same thing we need to be doing with regard to China. When the protesters take to the streets, these brave Iranian women, I mean, you want to talk about courage? When they take to the streets, the United States needs to lift its voice in support of these kind of heroes, in my view. That was the purpose of the letter we sent to the Chinese Communist Party. I thought that world leaders' response to the protests in Beijing and throughout China, to the protests in Iran, have been much too tepid, including from Joe Biden. World leaders need to speak up and actually show support for these brave people who are pushing for freedom. That was the point of our letter to the Chinese Communist Party, and we need to do it in Iran. So to answer your question, I don't think it's cracking yet, but you never know, and we need to support them.
Last question, Senator, completely political. Any chance you run for president in 2024?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you see, sometimes people like you and Cotton say no, and other people like Senator Scott say, I'm running for Senate in Florida, which isn't a no. You're a no. Am I clear on that?
No. What we need to do is we need to make sure that we have a Republican president, because every one of these policies we just talked about, Hugh, a Republican president would promote. Joe Biden's undermining him.
I appreciate that, and I also appreciate clarity. Thank you, Senator. You know, he's a great Ohioan, but he's also an Alaskan. He's been in Alaska forever. Senator Dan Sullivan, Browns fan, Buckeyes fan, and, of course, a fan of freedom and energy production in his home state of Alaska. Stay tuned, America. Lots more ahead on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
I'm James Ackerman, the president and CEO of Prison Fellowship. On behalf of our entire staff, and more importantly, the prisoners' families you bless, I want to personally thank you for your donation to our Salem Radio Network Angel Tree campaign. Thanks for opening your heart and your wallet this Christmas season.
Christmas Day in the morning, and what was in those ships?
Welcome back, America. We're playing ships because it's Go Navy Beat Army Week. And we already heard Senator Dan Sullivan say Go Navy Beat Army, but we have to have some equal time here for the Army. Senator Tom Cotton is a proud Army veteran. Good morning, Senator. Welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Show. What say you about the game?
Good morning, Hugh. It's good to be on with you. I am an Army veteran. They're not a West Point veteran, so it's not quite as central to my life as it may be to some, but wish the cadets well. Wish the midshipmen well, of course, too, but I want the Army to win. And I guess congratulations are in order to you as well as I'm talking about college football. Your Buckeyes back into the playoffs by USC losing. It couldn't have been a better weekend for Hugh Hewitt.
It couldn't have been. In fact, Easter came before Christmas this year as the Buckeyes were resurrected. That's the opening line of my second column this week for the Post. Senator, let me ask you about something I asked Rick Scott about earlier. You and Dan Sullivan both told me flat out you're not running for president. Senator Scott wouldn't say no. I'm not going to ask you about Senator Scott, but I'm going to start my GOP News special edition today. Because 2022 finally, in fact, let's go there first. 2022 ends today with the Georgia runoff. How important is it that Herschel win?
Well, it's incredibly important to you for the people of Georgia, irrespective of who controls the Senate in January and in the future, for the next 6 years, the person who wins today is going to be Georgians' voice in the Senate. I think Georgians want a voice for fiscal sanity, stable prices, low taxes, tough on crime policies, a secure border, and strong national defense. And Herschel Walker will give it to them. Raphael Warnock won. So if you're listening anywhere across Georgia today and you haven't voted, please make sure to get out the polls and pull the lever for Herschel Walker. In terms of control of the Senate, it makes a real big difference. I mean, there's lots of procedural things I could go into, but I'll just put it this way. At 50-50, it only takes one Democrat to defect on bad laws or especially bad nominees. And there have been plenty of really radical nominees that we've stopped because this or that Democrat declined to go along with them. Sometimes it's happened in private and hasn't been reported publicly. But trying to get two Democrats to defect on the same nominee or the same legislative measure, that's a horse of a different color. So it matters first and foremost for the people of Georgia for the next 6 years, but it certainly matters in terms of the country and total control of the Senate in the hands of Chuck Schumer for the next 2 years.
Now, Senator Cotton, my next question goes to GOP News. It's a new feature I'm starting for The Universe today. I'm unclear. Do you listen to the podcast or do you listen to The Universe, Senator?
I listen to your podcast, Hugh.
Okay, so you missed most of the show. We got out, and you're gonna miss the GOP News, which is gonna follow the live show every day, but only for Universe subscribers, because there's too much GOP News every day. I've got a list here: former President Trump, who's declared, and then not declared and probably running, Greg Abbott, Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Larry Hogan, Asa Hutchinson, Kristi Noem, Mike Pence, Marco Rubio, Rick Scott, Tim Scott, Chris Sununu, Glenn Youngkin. And then I have not running, Tom Cotton and Doug Ducey. When you've got the not running, when the not running list is two and the maybe running list is like 20, I'm just curious. Did I forget anyone when I ran down that list?
Hugh, it's hard to imagine that you forgot anyone, given how quickly you ran through a very long list of names, many of whom I consider friends, all of whom are accomplished leaders in their own right. I'm sure that plenty of those will run. Some probably will not. You know, Ann and I decided to close the chapter on 2024. Because our boys are just not at a good age for this, 5 and 7. It's just a tough time to be on the road 6 or 7 days a week. We're not necessarily closing the book for all time and in the future, but right now I'm going to continue my work in the United States Senate, which I'm very grateful to people of Arkansas let me do. And I wish all those people well, and I'm sure our voters will be able to pick a highly capable nominee, but I'm also sure that my boys can't find another dad for the next 2 years either.
And I respect that, and I can speak GOP. And that one, actually, most people can be trilingual and understand. You're saying, no, I'm not running. And Doug Ducey has said, no, I'm not running. So I speak GOP. But I had Senator Rick Scott on earlier today, and I asked him the same question. Well, I asked Dan Sullivan. He said, no, I'm not running. I asked Rick Scott, and he said, I'm running for senator in Florida. So does that rule out? He said, well, I'm running for senator. That's not a no, and therefore I speak GOP, and he's still on the margin there.
Again, I don't want to speak for any one person in particular. Everybody will take the time in the next few months to make their own decisions. I'll just say that having made my own Sherman-esque statement, I would assume that if someone doesn't make a Sherman-esque statement, it means they're at least not quite to the position where Sherman was of refusing the nomination if given and not running if nominated, not serving if elected. So anybody who doesn't say no is at least kicking the tires a little bit. And I wish them all well. It's a big decision to make. I hope they all take the time to reflect on it and make what's right for them, what's right for the country.
So, Senator, I love it when it's easier to talk to the people who've made Sherman-esque statements and get them in a room than it is the people who haven't. So I'm talking to someone who's made a Sherman-esque statement, and I want to talk to you about something that I'm writing about for the Post. I don't think that the RNC is thinking ahead well enough about how to get candidates onto platforms early to talk about the difference between Joe Biden, who I think is running for re-election, and the Republicans. First, do you think Joe Biden is running for re-election?
Hugh, I would assume he is, just because I assume that, you know, people who get elected president want to keep being president, and they run for re-election, as almost every modern president has. I know that his chief of staff last night, he said he expects to make that decision sometime after the holidays, so I assume we'd know in the next, 4 or 5 weeks. But I would assume that he's running for re-election, yes.
And when I was on Special Report on Friday, and Brett suggested to me, hey, look, this new South Carolina primary must be good news for Kamala Harris. I said, it might be, but it's clear to me that that means Joe Biden is running, because he didn't want to go up to New Hampshire and get Lyndon Johnson. He does not want to go to Iowa and get rejected again. He wants to go to South Carolina with Jim Clyburn, another old guy who's done well in South Carolina for a long time, and win again. Is that how you read the DNC shakeup of their primary calendar?
I can only imagine that the DNC trying to change the order of their elections is designed to benefit Joe Biden, who, of course, lost badly in both Iowa and New Hampshire. Now, I don't think it's necessarily a good thing for Kamala Harris, because remember, she ran such a poor campaign in 2019. She didn't even make it to the starting line in 2020. And that includes among the voters in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina. She simply had no appeal anywhere. But I should also say, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that any of these changes are going to happen the way Joe Biden proposed. You've already seen New Hampshire politicians, to include Democrats, saying they're not going to give up their first-in-the-nation status. Georgia leaders have suggested they're not going to have two separate primaries to accommodate Joe Biden's wishes. So I think there's still a lot of matters to be settled on the Democratic side. I, for one, think that it's not broke, shouldn't try to fix it. And then Iowa and New Hampshire have done very good jobs being the first-in-the-nation caucus, a first-in-the-nation primary. And I would suspect our party is going to continue with that tradition.
You know, they waited to make that announcement until after the New Hampshire Senate race was decided, because they knew they were going to tick off everyone in the Granite State, where I'm heard across the entire state. And I do think the only way you can figure that out is that Joe Biden is afraid of New Hampshire voters, and that he's going to run again, and he wants a home game. And that's South Carolina. He wants a home game. You know, it's not going to work for Georgia Bulldogs in Atlanta when the Buckeyes take it to him, but Joe Biden wants a home game. So the question becomes, Senator Cotton, when do these Republicans have to figure it out? When do you think they have to get in the game or not get in the game?
Oh, Hugh, everyone is going to make their own decisions on their own timelines. If I recall, in 2016, I guess it was 2015, you had several of my colleagues in the Senate announcing in the spring, back to 1999, George Bush waited until his legislative session was over in the summer. So I would suspect you'd see a lot of different people making decisions between January and then when state legislative season ends and for governors in usually April and May. So I think we still have several more months of kind of the preseason, if you will, before our race is fully engaged.
All right. So we'll come back and talk about that another time. I want to talk about Iran and China. Yesterday, I had Lynn Khodorkovsky on. I originally scheduled him because Don Lemon at CNN was so rude to him after Donald Trump's infamous dinner that I just thought he needed a chance to say his piece. But then we got to talking about Iran, and Len knows a lot about Iran from his time with Mike Pompeo and Keith Kroc at State Department. Do you think that regime is wobbly? Because it seems that you're too young to remember 1989, I suspect. But all of a sudden, there wasn't an East Germany anymore. All of a sudden, they just threw open the wall and it was over. Could that happen in Iran? Do you think it's happening in Iran?
Well, I actually am old enough to remember that. Not all the ins and outs in the months long lead up to it, but when something like the Berlin Wall, one of the terrible symbols of the Cold War and the Iron Curtain collapse, even a 12-year-old boy can remember that. I will say that if you look throughout history, to include modern history of the collapse of communist governments in the 1980s throughout the Warsaw Pact, things that seem impossible for the longest time can very quickly turn into inevitable. And the durability of these protests in Iran, I think, has shocked the Ayatollahs. I would call on President Biden to take a more explicit, supportive message for them. You know, I know that all the sophisticates in Washington always say that, oh, well, we don't want to be viewed as instigating the protest or hurting them by suggesting they're under foreign influence. This is what they always say to justify their inaction. It's what Barack Obama said in 2009 when he refused to support the Green Revolution protesters because he was trying to suck up to the Ayatollahs to get a nuclear deal. It's what Joe Biden and Democrats are saying about protests in China as well, which we know from the history of the Cold War that protesters like the Solidarity Movement in Poland were yearning for words from American presidents in support of their aspirations for freedom. And that's what we should be providing, in addition to walking away from the nuclear negotiations and taking every step we can to hobble Iran's campaign of terror throughout the world.
Now, Senator, I'm holding in my hand this book you might be familiar with, Only the Strong. I want someone from Team Cotton to take your new book, Only the Strong, around to every senator, because I read the holdup on the omnibus, the full year funding of the Department of Defense, as being Democrats wanting more money for non-defense domestic discretionary spending and not enough money for defense. And if they would read Only the Strong, they would know that's not acceptable. Am I right about what's going on?
Yeah, it's actually a major theme of Only the Strong that the progressive left has not been serious about the defense of America for 100 years. They view the military as just another budgetary account that they can use to fulfill their domestic ambitions. And that's exactly what you see this week. We were ready to release the defense bill late last week, and then Democrats began insisting that they add on all kinds of extraneous non-defense measures, whether it's banking for marijuana distributors or a payoff to Joe Manchin to put his permitting reform bill on the defense bill, or to create a journalism cartel paying off the liberal media. These things are all totally irrelevant. And if the Democrats proceed, then I suspect Senate Republicans will filibuster the defense bill until they relent. And for that matter, House Republicans, whose votes are necessary to pass the defense bill, probably won't supply those votes until the Democrats back down. We shouldn't be using the annual defense bill, which supports our troops, as just another domestic plaything to try to fulfill the Democrats' non-defense ambitions.
Senator Cotton, we got 10 seconds. How much up spending over the Biden budget do you think we need and will support in this budget?
Well, the defense bill that's ready to be unveiled shows $45 billion more. I would like more than that. With the House, Republican House, I suspect we will get more than that next year, but the need is very urgent given the state of our military and the threats we face.
Senator Tom Cotton, thank you. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Clarity is much appreciated on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Senator Cotton, always clear. Thank you, Senator. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.